The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God you shall worship. Him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm really delighted to be here in South Pasadena. Ever since I arrived, I have received a fantastic warm welcome from the Monsignor, from Cambria, from Frank, from everybody. When I met the Holy Father, something happened which I have not actually disclosed to anybody else until today. And he said to me, is it true that you're going to Holy Family Church, South Pasadena? And I said, "Well, yes, it is." And he said, "Well, when you're talking to the Monsignor, it would be really great if you could just drop my name into the conversation." I said, "I can't promise." I asked somebody, "What sort of city is this?" And they said, "It's a city of trees, palm trees, oak trees, the finest fig tree, I think, probably in the world." And I have a feeling it's like a little oasis. And it's an oasis that attracts all sorts of seekers and travelers who come here to take your rest. What do you want from Lent? Many people would say, well, it's a good time to develop your spiritual life. More time for prayer, for silence. Maybe you'll read some books of spirituality, maybe some Ignatian spirituality or Franciscan spirituality, or if you're very, very good, some Dominican spirituality. This reminds me, there was a Dominican and a Jesuit and a Franciscan who were traveling through the desert, and they got lost, and they were in danger of dying. And an angel appeared, and he said, "I'm going to give each of you one wish." So the Dominican said, "I'd like to go back to Blackfriars in Oxford." Whoosh! He was gone. And then the Jesuit said, "Well, you know, these Dominicans, they have very good ideas. I'm going to follow his example. Send me back to Boston College. Whoosh. And then the angel said to the Franciscan, well, what would you like? And he said, well, you know, I'm really lonely now those two have gone. Could you send them back, please? So we should be developing our spiritual life. But what does that mean? And I think that this gospel we've just heard of the tempting of Jesus in the desert gives us beautiful lessons on what spirituality really is. The Holy Spirit does not lead Jesus off to a nice little conference center where he can have time on his own and lots of silence and light a few candles. What the Spirit does is to drive him into the wilderness. Because often, when we get close to God, we seem to lose him. But we lose him only to find him closer than he ever was before. As Hosea said, I will allure Israel and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. So I think at the heart of the spiritual life isn't always nice things, you know, looking at your Enneagram and having times of silence. We need that sometimes. But often what the Spirit does is to drive you into the wilderness, there to discover God again, more deeply. Most of the deeply spiritual people that I've ever met are people who've dared to go into the wilderness. I think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who I've had the blessing to meet a few times. For her, the spiritual life wasn't going into her chapel, you know, all the time. No, she did that. It was going onto the streets of Calcutta in the slums and finding Christ among the poorest people who were dying. A few weeks ago, I was in Algeria. I very nearly got taken hostage, but I just escaped literally by the skin of my teeth. But you'll have to come to the mission if you're going to hear that story. Anything to bring them in. Later that day, I was with my driver, who was a local bishop, French Dominican, and we were driving through the northern Sahara. And we came to a little oasis, El Mania, absolutely classic with palm trees and camels. And we asked a young man and his two sons, well, I couldn't because they were speaking Arabic, is this the way to El Biod? And they said, you'd never make it in that car. Anyway, we could see no other way, so we went on. And very soon we were stuck in the desert. And they followed us. And with all kindness, they said, if you carry on, you will die. Come and stay with us. So in the wilderness, I really felt we encountered God, the kindness of God, in three young Muslims. And in this Lent, maybe you will have to seek out people who are in their own wilderness, who feel that God has gone, who feel deserted. And you can be the face of God for them. It may be your own children who feel that God isn't around any longer. It could be friends. It could be people at work. So that's the first lesson. Spiritual life isn't always a retreat into a nice, easy place. The Spirit is not a nice, tame pussycat. And then we have the second lesson. This is a paradox. The Spirit of God drives Jesus into the wilderness, but the devil takes him to the temple where God lives. It's as almost as there'd been a sort of confusion over their job descriptions. But what the devil does is he shows us the second trap, the wrong sort of spirituality. Because he says, here you are on top of the temple, jump off, God will catch you. He's your big daddy. He'll look after you, whatever you want. This is a temptation of a wrong sort of spirituality which infantilizes us. To treat God as if he's a nice, big, cuddly, celestial daddy who'll take care of everything we do. And therefore we can be completely irresponsible. I mean, what's more stupid than wanting to go bungee jumping off the temple? And it is a temptation sometimes of religious people, spiritual people, to want to say, I don't have any responsibility. Whatever's happening in Syria, in the Ukraine, Daddy will look after them. People are dying on the streets of Los Angeles. I'm awfully sorry, but it's not my responsibility. God will take care of them. But the Spirit of God is poured upon us to make us strong. Confirmation means to be made firm, strong. We are God's hands. Pope Francis is always saying to us, take responsibility. Don't be wimps. The Spirit is poured on us so that we may be adults faced with the challenges of the church and the world. And then there's I'll just tell you about a man who wanted to win the lottery. And he prayed and prayed. He said, oh God, all I want to do is to win the lottery. Nothing happened. The next week he prayed again, fervently. No, he didn't get the prize. And the third week he prayed and God said to him, okay, you can win the lottery, that's fine, but you've got to do your bit. At least go and buy a lottery ticket. And then you get the final temptation, the final way that we can get spirituality wrong. The devil says to Jesus, in effect, okay, worship God, that's fine, in the temple, on the Sabbath, that's where God's little area is. But look at all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. If you're going to get anywhere in the real world, worship me. Spirituality is fine for a Sunday, but the rest of the time belongs to me. Get real. And that's a temptation I think we all have. I have a nice, pious spirituality on a Sunday, but the rest of the week to worship other gods. The market. You have to obey the rules of the market. Competition, rivalry, beat your rivals. Worship the god that is gold. So that's the temptation of a little compartment in your mind, which is the nice religious bit. But the rest of the time to worship other gods. But Jesus says, worship the one God for the whole of your life. Because that's the only God that will set you free. All the other gods will enslave you. My father, when he was a young man with 5, 6 kids and struggling to get them all through school, he was a junior partner then in a city firm in London. And because of a bit of financial problem in the country's economy, they had to downsize and sack some people. And my father said, you know, we have an obligation to look after all our employees until they get another job. And the other partner said, well, you can do it if you want. We've no legal obligation. Just let them go. So my father paid the wages of every one of those people until they got another job so that they could keep their mortgages and carry on. It almost bankrupted him. But that's what it means to worship one God, who is the Lord of all our lives and who cares for us in all things. So I hope you've not been put off too much by the sermon, and that you see you all at the mission, morning and evening, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. I promise I won't speak too long.